Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
Today, we are talking about the subtle layers of past life energy that we encounter in our current incarnation. And of course, taking your calls for psychic readings. We see that we have several callers in the queue. Thanks for joining us, callers and listeners. Our listener line is 914-338-0164. We actually got a call today from someone I think that wanted a reading on the air. So the 562 number, as stated on the website, is for a further conversation that would exceed the amount of time that the radio show can allow. So again, 914-338-0164 is our number for our listeners. If you would like further conversation beyond the radio show, 562-596-7818. And we do invite you to join us on Facebook and on Twitter and like us on Facebook as well. There are two sites that you can join us on: Facebook, Neil Baker, Neil and Kristen Baker, and Neil Baker Psychic. So, Neil, subtle layers of past life energy.
Yeah, what does that exactly mean, subtle layers of past life energy? Well, essentially what it means is that there's karma from past lives that has not been resolved.
Well, you know, it's interesting. On Saturday, we went to a house reading, and I actually said to you, you know, the birth dates give a clue, of course, and how they interact with our birth dates and the fact that we're dealing with people and helping them with their problems and issues. I said to you, we have a past life, you know, certain people you're going to have a closer past life connection with than others. And I said, you know, this particular group of people that we dealt with, we have a stronger past life connection than maybe someone else that we might encounter, you know, on the radio or so on and so forth. So the closer the connection, the closer the past life.
That's
karma.
That's part of the subtlety. I mean, the subtleties can be that the intensity of a past life you have with someone going back in time can now, going forward in time, the energy is just sort of, it might be your gardener, or it might be your pool man, or it might be your hairdresser. And that might have been a family member in a past life. That might have been a brother. Might have been a spouse. The energies are so strange. As they move through time and different lifetimes,
right,
you reduce the karma, you actually resolve issues, if there are issues, and then it gets to a level of normalcy or sort of a balance. And then if there's a contract between two people, it can move forward into the next lifetime where there is a acceleration of energy and then a more intense energy. So you can actually go from low to high and that kind of thing. Or you can just, a relationship can just be dissolved and the karma's over.
Right. So like a gardener, like you said, could be a former spouse or a parent. But if the karma is not reduced, and even if the relationship was less intense in a past life, you may have more intensity in this experience with those people.
Yeah, sure. Because you see, that's why, let's say you have a gardener.
And, let's say.
And that gardener ends up saving your child's life who fell in the pool. That's an intense energy. That's a contract. You may not have that much of a relationship with a handyman or a worker, but if it comes to that, you have to start to dig deep into the subtle layers of karma and past lives to understand what it's all about. On the other hand, you can have a negative energy. You know, you have a workman come into your home and they mess up your whole house and they do terrible damage. Now, of course, that can be defined as just normal, poor workmanship in one lifetime. But oftentimes these subtleties are interconnected. And so we also have them within our own lifetimes. When we enter the earth, we have sort of subtle connections we've had with our past lives. So we may be, for the first part of our life, we may be intense sports players. And then it just sort of drops. And it has nothing to do with the team atmosphere or just doing things that your peers do. There may be a terrible childhood disease you have. That's coming from a past life energy. Just as much as you may be doing a lot of traveling around in the first part of your life. And then at 7 years old, your family stops traveling. So there's never anything, divorces, when you're children. All of this is past life energy,
right, because
coming from other previous.
What I was going to say is the karmic situation that you come into in terms of family or your environment. I mean, that's much more fixed than as you move through life and, you know, you've reached a certain age and you're beyond, you know, there's more creative.
It's fixed, but now let's examine adoptions and illegitimate children.
Illegitimate.
Yeah, well.
It's an old-fashioned term, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm an old-fashioned guy. So some of that, is, you know, the energy that you have in your family can range from very intense, very good, very loving, altogether, it's so strong, to immense animosity, anger, dissension. So, and all of this is examined on that particular lifetime. Some kids, I know some kids who, I've encountered little boys that were really into the military. Oh, they loved the military, they loved the war, they had soldiers, they did everything. Now, of course, that's the boys and the girls of the dolls and all that. And that doesn't mean that, oh, in a lifetime, in a past life, that means that you were a soldier or something. No, not by any account. But when you do look at extraordinary, I saw, there was one kid I had, one little boy who, I picked up on the phone and I told the mother that I just felt that this child had a past life in a war zone, a huge war zone. And when I went to the house, the kid, and it was during the Napoleonic War. So when I went to the house, he had in his room set up battalions of soldiers and all aligned, and he was marching around them. I mean, it was quite amazing because she just said, I don't want you to say anything more. I just want you to come visit my boy, and you're going to see what you're tapping into. Now, that's extraordinary. Kids who learn languages early in life, that's another aspect of this subtle connection
interesting.
Of past life energy.
Because I actually personally did learn a second language early in life. I wonder, I've never even spoken with you about that. So when we're off the show, I'm going to have to ask.
If you just conceive of the world as being in one space, one time, this is it, you're just going to say, well, okay, so you learned it and that's it. I took you to a class and you learned ballet. That's all accountable. There's no argument about that. But we're obviously in a world of psychic phenomena, psychic vocabulary, astral awareness, past life connections. And when you take that into it, no, not everything is connected to that. That's ludicrous. But oftentimes there's a certain vibe, and people who are sensitive to the elements of time and space and dimensions of other lifetimes will perceive and catch up with that. Then what you have to do is investigative work. And that is very important because you have to go in and dissect the energy to really determine that it's just not a vague feeling or some kind of strange theory you have that there was a past life connected to something. You've got to kind of go in and do the experimental expertise work of really examining whether it's crucial criteria for a past life connection.
So when there are early childhood experiences that are extraordinary, maybe a person starts an instrument when they're very young, or a language, or has a specific interest in, like you said, certain era, those usually relate to past life experiences.
Well, not usually.
Often, but you have to examine the vibration,
yeah,
but it's a clue.
Because there's going to be a certain awareness. The way they adapt to the instrument, for instance, the way they envelop at certain time zone, if they have a certain attraction towards an aura of music, you have to kind of get into that and feel it out. And then, of course, you know, the third eye is such a wonderful instrument. When I'm working individually with people, I'll activate my third eye and I'll actually see them. I've seen little kids turn into Mozart or Beethoven type of profiles.
Mm-hmm.
They just morph right in front of me. And so then you know, boy, then you know verbatim that that's the case of this subtle issue. Now, the same thing happens in conflicts. We bring into our world not just huge dramatic moments like, oh, a musician, or we were a guy that, you know, we were the colonel in the army. Some of it's about subtleties of relationships, subtleties of job opportunities, things we've done, money problems. These are things that are stretching backward in time in terms of how we have manifested the karma and have moved it along into each succeeding lifetime until it's either worn off or we get to a place where we can build upon it and be very successful. That's why some people are very successful and some people struggle all their lives.
Right, and you talked about like if someone comes into the world and has an early talent or speaks languages, but then departs from that and doesn't really pursue that path. Or what about someone who comes into the world with, you know, an extraordinary talent or ability and pursues it throughout their life? What does that mean in terms of past life?
Well, it's a long-term commitment. You finally come to the place where you've entered the planet and you've reduced certain karma and you're starting off on a clean slate with the same premise of what you've been doing, but without the karma. So you have a whole new line of action to work on. Other times, what's creative is in the astral realm, before you come down to the planet, you get to work on new creative things you want to do. So if you've reduced the karma of a previous lifetime, you can elect to start something new and develop your energy into that direction and then hopefully have it manifest and evolve into something spiritual. I mean, you know, there should be a study done between a very popular pop artist as opposed to someone who has a wonderful talent but only keeps it within the church. How do we assign our... A lot of gospel singers, a lot of popular singers come from a gospel background. So
when it starts to develop into a more...
Mm-hmm. And if there's a deviation, is it in alignment with the creative force of the universe? So there aren't any fixed rules, per se. It's a very creative energy. So whether you're ascribed to do something and then you deviate from it, you see, it doesn't necessarily mean that you've gone astray. So the evolving energies have a creative aspect to it that may have already been prescribed in the astral realm as the, what you might say, prescription of your life.
But it'd be really interesting to look at. I mean, you're talking about singers who maybe deviate from a spiritual path. It would be interesting to look at people who became famous and then died tragically and, you know, examine whether that entry into a more public forum caused some kind of karmic.
On that. You know, singers,
yeah, that's right. We are the 27 Club, which will be coming up either Friday or Monday, depending on.
And it's just not restricted. I mean, you know, you have poets and you have artists. That die early at a certain age. We're going to get into the mystical element of what certain ages mean in terms of the whole formula and equation of a birthday.
Okay, we've got to take some callers now, Neil, so let's do that. 505 is our first. Everybody's getting reading, just please be patient. Hi there.
Hi, this is Tricia.
Hi, Tricia.
Hi.
ICIA, or is it SHA? Yes. Okay, got it right.
ICIA.
And your birth date, please?
It's 12463.
The CIA at the end of the name, always. What is it?
12463. 9, 3, 6, 8. What's going on, Tricia?
Well, I know the last time I spoke with you, Neil, you mentioned that I would be moving. However, the house that's next to me, I wanted to find out if you could feel some vibrations there. The previous owner foreclosed on the home. He had destroyed the home, and it was vacant for quite a while. Someone has purchased it, and they're renovating it. And it's a shared well with me, which I'm concerned about. And I just wanted to find out if it's going to be a more peaceful situation than it was before.
This is shared.
Am I going to have any problems?
The shared well.
Oh, a shared well.
Like water. So you're on a well rather than a regular, like,
yeah,
city water.
So the new people that have purchased the home and are remodeling it are you're both sharing a well. You're not interested in this home. You're still staying in your original residence, but now you're concerned about the connection you might have with your neighbor.
Yes, I don't know if he's going to renovate it and sell it or rent it or if he's going to live in it. I mean, it's just up in the air situation.
Have you gotten friendly and talked to him and asked him what his plans are?
Yes, I've asked him, and he just said that he's fixing up the place, and he's not sure if he's going to move in it, rent it, or sell it.
That's probably accurate. A lot of people, they fix up homes and they flip them over and they resell them. He probably doesn't know. You know, he's bought the home, and that has put him in a place of some sense of security. Now what he wants to do with it, he's in a position of playing around, experimenting. So he doesn't quite want to know. The attitude, though, you know, when you get it, you're renting. Are you renting your own home?
No, this is my home.
Well, then that makes it a little bit deeper, because if this is your home and you're not renting, then the element of your neighbor buying the home next to you is a real common situation. Well, let me ask you something. In this lifetime, has there been any brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers who have died to this point in time?
Up to this point in time, yes. I have a brother and a mother passed over.
Yeah. And did the brother die through any aggravated sense of circumstances, meaning self-aggravated, like drugs or an accident, something that was aggressive on the body?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you have... So why I went there, Tricia, was because I'm...
Patricia, by the way, that's why, you know, I recognized her voice, but not the name. You know, we didn't hear, I know, it's Patricia. That's why I asked if it was S-H-A, Patricia, but we didn't hear the pa. And then I realized who you were after the fact. Okay. So.
Now that tells me that you have karma with your next door neighbor. My mind is going there, and I think you have karma with your next door neighbor. So there could be a little bit of trouble there. But, Patricia, that doesn't mean that it can't be somewhat reduced by energy. So I don't think that you have a general bad karma going on with this person and you can't get out of it. There's a little bit of mild stuff going on in there that could be potentially problematic, but we're at the line where you may not have to worry about it. You won't have to worry about it unless something starts to come up, and then I would suggest you look deeper into the aspects of how the karma is getting worked through. Have you had any water, plumbing, mold problems at any point?
No, but I do have to do some plumbing issues in my bathroom. And I did have problems with the previous owner of that home, but I don't know this guy.
See, because the energy, the tribal energy, Patricia, is suggestive of trouble. So you had trouble with the previous owner, and then another link goes to the plumbing issue in your bathroom. So I'm getting a readout through these other avenues to attaching it to the possibility you could have some problem with your with the person who owns this home now, I would suggest you stay on friendly terms with them. You know, to the best of your ability, nothing intense, just friendly terms, so that he feels that his essence there, his presence there, he'll take you into consideration, and there shouldn't be a problem. But I think what we have to do sometimes is alert our neighbors that we're really a family. When we live next door, it's really about being a family in some sense. And so I would, if I were you, I would sway your connection with that person in that way very subtly. If you want to do it in such subtle terms, it's just a matter of being polite and neighborly, you know, so that there's cooperation and dialogue. But that's where it stands right now.
Okay, Patricia, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Our neighbors are like family. Well, unfortunately, I don't think I want to be. Some of our neighbors, definitely, I could consider more family members, but some of them, no, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, it's all relative. It really is.
It's all relative. Get it?
Yeah. And sometimes you have a good neighbor, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you try to change it for the better. But
Okay, 305 is our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hi, my name is Maria. I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Florida, thank you. And your birth date?
Is 7/27/63.
And have we talked to you before?
Yes, I called in last year. And I guess I talked to Neil, and he told me I would be meeting somebody this summer, a life mate. This coming summer. And I just want to see if you can tell me something more about this person so I can be on the lookout for them.
Oh, okay. Something about this person.
Well,
jeez.
Well,
63, that would be 50. You're 52, right?
I'm 52. I'm going to be turning 53 this summer.
Oh, okay.
And I want to make sure I'm still on track to meet this person. You know,
and
things change in life,
is,
you know.
53 is her inverted karmic number. Mm-hmm. 35-8. She's a 35-8?
Yeah, she's a 35. So what was going on in 1998? Did you have a...
1998, I met my first husband.
Yeah.
Who I loved very much, but who... I was married 16 years, but he betrayed my trust.
Yeah.
I feel like we
are you married how many years, 16?
I'm sorry?
How many years were you married?
16.
Wow,
I was married 14 years, but we lived together for two, and then we got married. We were married for 14 years.
This is a classic example. You're a classic example of numerology and interpretation. You were married 14 years. There's your two sevens in your month and day, plus the two left over amounts to
16.
The two you knew before, 16, which is your master number times two. And then your karmic number, 35, is when you met your first husband. So what you did was you had a duality with this man in terms of a past life with him that amounted to past life karma, and then where you journey with him through your transcendent energy past the age of 35, and then you were with him 14 years, so that would be 49. You were with him, I guess, until around 49. Which is about 8 times 6, that would be 48. So you went through about 6 cycles of your life. Now, the question is, does your journey on the planet continue with this kind of connection with men? Are you inclined to be with men that will have this kind of karma? I don't believe so. So when we're looking at the new man coming in, we're not looking at a pattern of karma that you have to repeat throughout your lifetime. So the new man coming in can be quite refreshing and not betray you and be more on the up and up and be ready with life and sharing that life with a significant other. one thing that this guy might like to do, and I mean this in an innocent way because I'm not an advocate of gambling, but he might gamble, not gamble, but let's say you went to a casino and just for fun, you would say, let's do $200. This will be fun. Let's just have a ball with $200. And we stop there. That might be a sign. That might be a sign.
So light gambling, not anything serious. Something.
Yeah, there's nothing. In fact, it's like, let's go to Disneyland for the day. You know, we go to Disneyland.
Is that an invitation?
Let's go there. Let's go. So he might want to do something like that. I don't know if there's casinos around you or anything, bingo. I don't know what there's around you, but the cards or whatever. But he might like to do that. He might have a very thin pencil mustache, or he had it, and you would see a picture of it. But very neat, very thin, very pencil thin. And that might be something in that category. He might have something. He likes to talk about ranches. So there's something about a ranch, maybe horses, perhaps in his past, maybe not present, but that would be part of the indication too.
Okay. Well, Maria, be on the lookout.
Okay, I'll call back and report.
Please do. Yeah, we'd love that. Thanks so much.
Okay,
bye-bye. Okay. Neil, we've got another call. Are we going to say something before we move on? All right. 570, good morning or good afternoon. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
This is Marty in Pennsylvania, and it is afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. First time listener.
Welcome. Okay, great. Glad to have you, Marty. Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
And, what is your birth date?
July 31st, 1963.
July 31st.
My brain tends to race ahead of my tongue, so.
Sometimes mine does, too, so I understand. Well, it's 7/31/63, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. It's Marty with a Y or I?
I spell it with a Y.
Yeah, that's what I've got. Okay, 10/11/21, 28/10/1. Is that what you have, Neil? Did I have that up right?
No.
7/8/9/10/11/21.
Oh, do you need my actual birth certificate name? Because that's just what I know.
No, that's not a big deal.
Okay.
30 equals 3. I was off by 2. How did I do that? Okay, so we've got your master number and karmic number, Marty. What's your question?
Well, I just feel like a lot of things are kind of drawing to a close of this phase in my life. Like, I'm getting ready, I think, maybe in the next year or so for a whole new chapter. So it would be hard for me to pick any one thing, but I guess like most people, I'd like to know if what you see as far as my true mate ever entering my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Since you may enter your life. Were you in a relationship ever at any point in time, Marty, where the relationship lasted anywhere from 12 to 15 years?
Well, I guess the closest to that would be my ex-husband. I mean, we've been divorced for over a decade, but we're still civil with one another. But I think we were actually together under the same roof for a little over 8 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 8 prior to that, but then it's been about 12 years since then. So that's where that's coming in. So the 12 is coming in since you've been married, and the 8 I was feeling prior to that, so I'm dealing with him in terms of analyzing the next potential partner you will have. Will you have one? Yes. I do believe you're going to be having a potential partner. And who is most inclined to be kind of artsy, crafty, artistic? Who is that person around you?
Around me?
No.
I don't know, because I was always kind of the artsy-fartsy one in my family.
Well,
my daughter's fairly artistic, but...
Okay. No. You don't need to say anything more. It's you. And part of my thought was it could be you, and if you mentioned it could be you, then that's all I needed to hear. So So, okay, so you're going to be getting a new partner. It feels pretty okay to me. So that means that we don't have to deal immediately with just a bad karma you have to go through and you have no choice. So it's on the other side of the map on that one. The name Clark is somewhere in your life. Any Clarks up to this point, anywhere in your life?
Any what? I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing you, honestly.
The last name or first name Clark. Any Clarks in your life?
The only one that leaps to mind is it was the surname of somebody I worked with years and years ago. But, I mean, we were just a worker.
Marty, you're a first-time caller, so you don't know us that well. But the vibration of something like that, even though it may seem insignificant to you, is actually significant. So do you want to know about the conditions? I mean, maybe something.
Yeah.
So what can you just go back to that job? What job was it?
I was a corrections officer.
You're a corrections officer.
And, I was.
This person was in the job. Was he a corrections officer too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And your artsy quality, what would you dabble in, little painting or craft making or?
Oh, I used to do, when I was a kid, I did oil painting, tried sculpting for a while. I liked to sketch. I liked to write poetry and song lyrics, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I got enough information. These are short readings, Marty, but I work quickly in terms of giving a response when I feel I've got enough vibration going on. Okay, so you have a relationship coming in. It's going to be the person that you're going to be with likes to travel. So, you know, I don't know if he's got a trailer, but he'll want to go cross country. He'll want to go traveling. He likes to be on the go. He's an active person. He likes to be on the go. He's slightly overweight, but his legs are strong. He likes to walk. He likes to go on hike.
Could you quickly explain to Marty why Clark is important to this journey of an answer here?
Well, Clark is important because I was when I got Clark and he said, well, I worked with him in the past and he was a corrections officer along with me. I'm looking at a whole circumference of your connection with men. And from that, I quickly analyze and I categorize where that energy is coming from. No, he's not important, but he worked in your work area. And you're a corrections, you were at least a corrections officer. So I'm determining that there's going to be a link to the person you're with, that this person went through their own rehab. They were once probably, they might have had a drinking problem. They're all sober now. They're sober, they're fine. Well, it's somebody who you would look at and go, wow, here's a good example of someone who's redeemed themselves and someone who understands how to tame the wild spirit in such a way that it's not going to be, intrusive to a relationship. So that's what I feel is going to happen. So there's going to be, you're going to meet somebody that you might have actually worked with in a correctional institution. But in this lifetime, in this time, it's not going to happen that way. There's going to be something more joyous and bountiful about it, a lot healthier.
Okay. Do you have any idea of like a time window frame? I know time is the beastly thing, but...
Well, real quickly, anybody in your family born September, October?
Any idea how this meeting might come about?
No, I'm asking a question. Is there anybody in your family that was born in the month of September, October, or any anniversary then?
Not my father, who's long deceased, was an October birthday.
The answer, Marty, I'm going to stop you there. The answer is yes, my father. It doesn't matter if he's long deceased. So it's about a vibration. It's things that may not seem significant to you, and it is significant. It's your father. What month was your father born in?
October.
Okay, yeah. So the answer is yes. My father was born in October. Mm-hmm. And Neil?
Yeah. So So what I'm telling you now from that information, you could meet this person in late summer, early fall.
Okay.
Okay.
I know if you haven't had a reading on this show, you know, it may seem odd, some of the questions. A lot of people that are, you know, doing readings on the radio don't use this particular technique, but it's all about connecting to a line of energy. So that's
one of the questions. It's not so much that, dear. It's just I can hear you very clearly. I can't hear him very clearly for some reason. It's our connection.
On
the phone line, I'm not hearing him clearly, so.
Okay, I'm going to try
to get closer to the mic here, and so we'll correct that. But thanks for letting me know. That's a little bit of information, Marty, so I hope that works a little bit for you.
Well, certainly gives me hope.
Yeah. Okay,
I've been working
Marty.
On myself for a long time, so it'd be nice to have a mate now, so.
You'll be having one. You're going to be having one. I know of what I speak, but it's just a matter of the timing zone. So keep working on yourself, and we'll look for those immediate dates coming up.
Yeah, let us know, Marty.
Okay, so you think late summer, early fall is looking good, huh?
If you work on yourself, that's going to be the best case
scenario. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Marty.
Thank you much. Bye bye.
Okay. All right. So the order is 951, then 407, then 208. So we have Nathaniel. Good morning, Nathaniel.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. 5157. What's going on?
That thing didn't seem to really work out with Pete and Tracy. They rented a motel for a month. So
You're kidding. Hold on, Nathaniel. He was supposed to move out with these two guys. Remember about their birthday from the last show?
Yeah.
And he's saying that they rented a motel for a month. So they're not planning on moving out now.
Well, they did move out. They moved all their stuff into storage. And a friend, they didn't even talk to me. And so I haven't called them, and they haven't called me. So, but I know a friend that Paul, he told me today that they moved everything out and to a storage unit and moved into a motel for a month. So I wasn't so pressured on a decision.
Getting ready. They're not going to stay in that motel. Their move and stationing themselves in such a way to where they can strategize a permanent place. So just hang in there, Nathaniel.
Yeah, I mean, I would get in touch with them. I wouldn't. I mean, you're saying you haven't called them. I would say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a practical piece of advice, but, you know, kind of an obvious one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, just hang in there. Keep in touch with them.
Anything else, Nathaniel?
Well, I'm kind of looking for, you know, maybe I'm not sure if that's going to work out or if there's, you know, something else. I am looking for a car. So I'm looking for a car and a computer. So I don't know if you have any advice on that. That worked out pretty good with that other people that told me that I should call them back.
And weren't they supposed to help you with a car, too?
You know, they said they would, but, you know, everything is just up in transition right now, so maybe I should just, you know, hang on for another month.
I would ask them. I mean, you know, what their intention is. It seems like, you know, would be the obvious thing to do, right?
Yeah, you got
to
I'll connect with them
on Tracy and Pete with the car and then with the move and, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can call. I mean, you know, that seems like the first step, and then call back and let us know what they say. And then from there, you know, maybe more specific advice can be given.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome, Nathaniel. You're welcome. Okay, 407 is our next caller. And it's Michelle, 1017-74. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning, Neil and Kristen. How are you guys doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Hello.
Good. Hello.
What's going on?
I'm sorry?
What's going on, Michelle?
I want wanted to know if you guys can give me some insight on a local move that I need to do in about a month. Like, kind of what direction to go in? Is it going to be attached to something? Because I haven't really solidified anything yet.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm seeing a small industrial park. This isn't about, I don't know how this connects to your move yet, but I'm seeing a small industrial park, and near that industrial park, they have a postal delivery. I just see like a big brown postal truck.
What is UPS? That?
UPS. And they're delivering something. So where's the closest industrial, small industrial park area where you live now?
Honestly, I don't know, because where I live right now, I'm really not that familiar with the area. So,
Well, are you in a very rural area? Can you drive within 5 minutes and come across an industrial park? Would that seem logical?
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, there is one, yeah, sort of near me. That's true.
And
it's
okay,
near an airport. So, it's right next to an airport.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So that's that's giving me some footing here. I want to ask you another odd question off the bat here. When was the last time you noticed anyone losing a pet and they put up a sign, lost pet, lost animal, lost dog? I know it's a strict, crazy question. Or is there a story that you have in your history about a lost dog?
Not a lost one. I mean, my family, we found a dog and we kept the dog many years ago.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, that's it. That's what I'm in the atmosphere of doing readings on the radio quickly. That's what I'm picking up on. You found a dog. So now I'm building my footing towards, I'm slowly getting my footing in and getting closer to perhaps, what was your question was?
About yeah, if you're going to move, it sounds like you're not familiar with the area that you're living in, as you said. Did you recently move already? I mean, was there a recent move?
No.
To this new area that you're in?
No, I just don't get out of this area very much, which is the problem.
Okay. Yeah, you're sort of like that lost dog that found a home. You're looking for a home, and you're kind of lost in your brain about where to go and what to do. So I think something is drawing me into an analogy to that respect. And then the industrial park, a delivery, a postal. Something may come in the mail that it's about a new residential area, that something's going to be delivered to you and you're going to go, oh, well, and instead of throwing it away, go in and check it out.
So the move is possible.
The move is possible. Are you working at least 3/4 to full time?
No.
You're not working at all?
Yes, you work.
I am working, but I wouldn't consider it that, no. It's less than that right now.
Less than that. So the contingency factor is, I'm hearing that you've got to increase your work area load to make somehow your work area, your work hours are going to be contingent. Your moving is contingent on your work hours. Have you had any problem with sick leave or any health conditions?
No.
Nothing like that. Why are you not working full time?
I was laid off several years ago, so I decided to take a different path, and I've been working online, and it kind of goes up and down.
So it's just not consistent, because are you self-employed?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Can I ask what you do online?
I teach English.
Yeah.
You teach
She's
English.
An English teacher. Remember, she taught overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, something's got to be increased there, Michelle. There's some kind of link, karmic link between your working hours and moving. So there's something in there that maybe if we see more working hours, we might see a better, you might be able to take advantage of moving and getting into that zone, because there seems to be some aspect of that relationship that is crucial to your move, since you're asking that question. But, you know, to me, when I'm giving a reading with you on the radio, I'm feeling like there's, like you're behind the current time zone you should be in. You're not in the, you're not up to par with where you should be right now. Something pulled you back. I don't know if there was maybe the getting laid off. There might have been some bouts of depression. I'm not sure, but something pulled you back, and time marched on, and you've got to do some quick work to catch up. Have you suffered from any mild bouts of depression?
Yeah, I would agree so, because I got laid off, which wasn't very happy, and my parents passed away, and that really wasn't very happy either. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. Okay, so you got to work through that through various creative means, and then your life's going to get back into an even sync. And then I see some nice things going on, but you got to work towards that and be very strong about it.
Well, the only thing is I really have to make this decision very quickly. I mean, I really only have a few weeks. Is there any other guidance you can give me?
Well, you know, the attitude of your attitude, you're looking for a quick fix. To get, because you're the reason it's quickly coming at you and you have to make a decision is because the universe is saying, you should have done this a long ago. Get with it. I mean, what I'm telling you to do, you could do in a couple of weeks. This isn't a long-term thing. When you get into the energy level of removing depression, removing obstacles in the psyche, it can be done overnight, more or less a couple of weeks. So, you know, you're holding on to something. So the suggestion I can give you in the immediacy of this reading is to, you have to activate your consciousness, Michelle, in such a way that you remove the negativity of your experiences, of your parents dying, of being laid off, and get out of the syndrome of feeling like a victim or like everything's falling apart on you. You got to get out of that and create a new energy from that standpoint. And then there's going to be answers given right on your doorstep. It's going to come to you.
So it's about a mindset and changing that mindset. That's how an answer will come.
Yeah. And then you're going to see there's going to be something about a move coming in. It will almost be delivered to your door.
Okay, Michelle. Hopefully that helps.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It did. Thank you.
All right. Our last caller, Neil, is from 208. Hello.
Hi, this is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I appreciate the opportunity for this.
No problem. Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from, first of all?
Idaho.
And what's your state? Idaho, okay.
And what's my what? I'm sorry. I'm Nicole.
Right, but that's not your birth date. That's your name. What's your birthday?
Oh, birthday. I didn't hear you. Okay. I'm sorry. 9/23/77.
We're having problems for some reason with being heard. I don't know what it is today. 19, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought my phone.
It was 11, too. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm curious. I have a person in my life that's been on and off friend, because I kept pushing him away because it was made very clear that we are most likely supposed to be marrying, and it still seems like that's supposed to be the case. But I'd like a secondary confirmation or opinion or information. Do I need to say his name?
No.
Birthday.
Birth date would be good.
I don't know the year, but I know it's December 30th.
Okay, do you know how old he is?
He's like 5 years. I think he's like 5 years younger than me.
Yeah, let's just work with the month and day, because that's going to be, I don't want to guess, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, his 6, and she's got 14, 15, 6 in her higher number in her year, and his adds up to 6 on the karmic side.
Which is a 14, 5. and she's got a six in there.
Wait, right, that's what they said. Six, 1977 is
there's
a six,
a
and he has a six.
Interchangeable.
Yeah.
What you've got is a man who is, he has, to me, it's like his footing is not right. He's got something wrong with his way of walking through the planet. So it's like you take two steps, he takes one. So.
Oh, yep. Yep, true.
Yeah. So you're not in alignment with one another. That means you're like if you're walking down the street, metaphorically, one's ahead of the other and you're not in alignment. You're not walking side by side. There's not an alignment of energy. Now, there might be something shattered in his heart area where he hasn't quite gotten over the emotional trauma of a separation. Are his parents
divorced? No, you're right. I actually knew that part. He was cheated on by his wife.
Yeah. Well, then we're moving up the line and cheated on by his wife. So he's got that. That caused his footing in life to be disturbed. And so he's distrustful. He doesn't have the strength and the balance to stay centered when it comes to relationships. So that's causing a problem. If you can get past that problem, then there might be some avenue towards being married to this person. I mean, right now, 38 years old, that's your karmic age. You're basically ready to make a change. Now, if he doesn't want to go along with that change and he decides karmically, I can't do this yet. If he decides that in his brain that he can't be healthy yet and get over this trauma, then you'll move on and find somebody else because this is the year of your change. And the decision will probably be made by or before September.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering because he chose, this is like his fifth girlfriend in 2 years, but he chose her in a way I think he's mentally going to hold on to this one. I just wanted to make sure before I let go and just moved on completely.
Yeah, I mean, if he's holding on, I mean, I'm all for working out problems and seeing people be together. So I'm an advocate of that. But in this case, I would be very careful. If he's not willing to let go and he's holding on, it might be helpful for you to move on.
Okay. And then real quick about my career, do you see income and maybe what it might be from anytime in the next, within
you know,
4 or 6 months?
Real quick, because we're running out of time, and really it's one question per caller, Nicole. But
well, usually with a career comes income. I don't know how much. Did you attempt to get a bachelor's, or did you achieve it, or did you attempt to try to get one?
In college.
You never went to college.
I never went to college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To real estate school.
You went to real estate school.
Are you a real? Uh-huh. Did you achieve your license? Did you get your license?
I did, but I got really sick and I lost it.
Yeah.
You lost your license. Okay,
you got sick and lost it. You didn't renew it because you were sick.
I did not renew it. Uh-uh. I moved into. I was sick for so long. I moved into life coaching.
Oh.
Life coaching. What? And you were sick. What kind of illness? What? I mean, that's pretty serious.
PTSD. Extreme PTSD.
Oh. Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's the power of the mind over matter. You're asking about a career, and I'm saying there's no reason why you can't have a decent career. And what I'm actually complimenting you by saying you could be more than you're giving yourself credit
for.
So
I my confusion is, what kind of work are you doing now, Nicole?
Well, I haven't really moved into that. That's what I've just started becoming healthy and getting on my feet mentally, emotionally, physically.
So are you wanting to go
and
back
I'm
into
looking
real
towards
you
being
want to go
a
into
life,
life
coach or a seminar coach or a seminar leader? I'm just one or the other.
Okay, so the real estate is off the table.
Well, you know, you have a lot of work to do. To be a life coach, you've got to be healthy. You've got to be healthy for yourself and for others. To be a seminar leader,
yeah.
You've got to, you know, work. Get
strong.
Yeah,
I am. Yeah, definitely
celebrate.
I am.
I hear that. then I would say you've got a good 8 months of work ahead of you before you can prepare to meet the public on in any place that it will can stand the controversy and conflicts and obstacles that you might be confronted with in terms of being a life coach. So work hard, and maybe you'll prove me wrong and do it sooner, but you got to work hard.
Okay, Nicole. So that's a little extra for you, and we're actually out of time, so we appreciate your call.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. All right, so you're welcome. She was saying she appreciated that too. Thank you for your appreciation. We are back on the air on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, and we hope that you join us then. Bye-bye.